Barbara.
All right, it is 5 o'clock. I'll go ahead and call the City of Columbia March 20th pre-council meeting to order. I know. We have open session, closed session, and open session. So get ready for some musical chairs. Appreciate everybody. But we'll start with classification and compensation study. DeCarlin?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With us today is T.L. Cox from the Siegel Group. TL's group has been with the city, working with the city for about a
little over a year. Yeah.
They worked on doing our classification study. So TL's will talk to you about his findings so far, and we'll go from there.
All right, thank you.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to sit and chat with us. An important topic, and glad to be presenting to y'all today. We do have a fairly full agenda. Want to treat this as informally as possible. So as we're moving through it, if there are questions, if there are things that I can respond for you in more detail, feel free to stop me there, or we can discuss at the end whatever you're most comfortable with. As DeCarlin mentioned, I'm with a company called the Siegel Company or Siegel Group. We are a fairly large company. We're independent, privately held. And a majority of the services we provide are in the HR space. And so the practice that I work in is our Compensation and Career Strategies group. We're about 50 employees that are part of my team, and we provide services similar in scope to what we've provided Columbia across really all markets. So corporate, private sector, public sector, higher education, nonprofit. I individually work only in the public sector. So over the last 15 years or so, this is really what I've been doing in public agencies outside of a stop actually in direct public service. So I actually worked for a municipality myself. So that's a little about our background. Of course, there were several other folks who contributed to the analysis and the results that you'll see today. So a reminder on the objective. So the procurement department at the city did a really outstanding job conveying to prospective vendors what the city was looking for in its classification and compensation plan review. And so, we of course went through an RFP process, came on site for interviews, and really distilled what the city was looking for into the slide you see today. And I want you to think about this in kind of three buckets. So the first bucket is internally, so an internal analysis. The second is externally, how do our jobs then compare to market? And the third bucket is, what do we have the opportunity to improve in administering a new system going forward? And so from an internal perspective, it really had to do with job architecture or a classification structure. So, what are the relationships among jobs? Are those relationships defined in a consistent, quantifiable, and objective way? And are the titles that are used across the city consistent? Are they appropriate? And are they similar to what we would find in other agencies? Externally, it really makes sense, right? Are the city's total compensation offerings for these jobs consistent with your competitors in the market? And then administratively, how do we incentivize and develop performance? So how do we grow people? How do we motivate people to do an outstanding job in these newly defined roles? And are the drivers of pay, are they what we would expect to see? Are they things like performance? Are they things like tenure? Or alternatively, are there some drivers of pay that, are not how you would want to be making decisions? And so we'll talk about what that looks like. So again, in summary, it really has to do with the accuracy, the equity, and the market sensitivity of your classification and compensation program. So the methodology that we employed, starting from left to right, we really wanted to first work with the city to understand pain points. What is it that you're seeking to fix? Where have you faced obstacles, and what can you do better going forward? On the flip side, what's working well that we don't need to change, right? And so that initiation phase was really largely data gathering and us strategically identifying priorities for the remainder of the project. That classification analysis, that's the internal bucket I just talked about. The analysis we did internally was actually based on around 650. It was actually more than that, but 650 questionnaires that were completed by your staff. So we had a very, very good representation and employee response to our questions. So what are your jobs comprised of today? What do you believe the knowledge, skills, and abilities necessary to do the work well? What do you think are the most important aspects of your job? You know, so we had a really, really good response rate from employees that we used to do the internal analysis. Externally, we went out and you'll see the results today of our total compensation assessment. And we're now to that fourth vertical there, the recommendations development. So we have taken the results of the internal analysis and we have paired that or blended it with the external results. And you'll see on a slide a little later on, we actually came on site in January. We met with your department directors. We met with the unions, and they actually got a sneak peek of what market-based pay structures would look like. So in our meetings with those individuals, we said, you know, here's the revised grouping of jobs. Here is what the pay ranges would be were the city to move forward with the market-based recommendations. What we're here to ask you today is, what do you want that competitive position to be? You know, that's something that a governing body most appropriately influences. And so the conversation today is to ask you, what is that desired competitive position? What is your compensation philosophy? And that inevitably is going to influence the market position of those market-based structures that we created and that folks have reviewed. Okay? So that kind of teal or turquoise box is where we are today. Once we get that feedback from you, it really then is just a matter of transferring all of the final study documents to the city, developing the written final report, things of that nature. Okay. So those deliverables, again, on the internal side, we completely redesigned your job architecture. So you know, the number of job titles that you had stayed roughly the same, but in doing the internal analysis, you know, I would argue we created more career pathing, so level 1, 2, and 3 of a job, just to oversimplify. So we created a lot of career paths, and I think we added clarity to what the progression among those levels should be. Again, we implemented consistent job titles, so coordinator, administrator, technician, specialist, those titles are now, there's more consistency across the city. Externally, we did both public sector and private sector benchmarking, and again, that's one of the things we'll look at a little later on. That third box there, again, we have developed those new salary structures. We shared with directors and your unions what those structures would look like at market. You can see that the caveat here, of course, is they're a work in progress because ultimately your decision about the compensation philosophy influences those salary structures. For a pay equity analysis, we're doing that at the conclusion. So once we've done our analysis, once the city understands how it's going to implement those results, we'll do the pay equity analysis. It's really where we identify the primary drivers of pay. So to oversimplify it, we establish what we would expect a salary within a particular classification, within a particular pay grade to be, and we identify outliers from that expectation. Okay, and then finally, you know, we've provided recommendations to improve the performance development program. We've provided recommendations for how you can better use your administrative guidelines in the oversight of the classification and compensation system. So that was really that final important deliverable. Okay. So the internal analysis is based on our proprietary job evaluation system called Siegel Evaluator. It is proprietary. You know, it's something that the roughly 750 questionnaires that your workforce filled out, we then use and analyze through the lens of Siegel Evaluator. So this is really the system that enables a consistent way for us to compare a job in parks to a job in IT, to a job in finance, to a job in health, right? Very different jobs, very different responsibilities, educational backgrounds, working conditions. And so Siegel Evaluator provides that consistent lens through which we can really compare all of these jobs to one another. And so we did that internal, you know, systematic process that we then go out and verify and validate with the market data that we collect, okay? So this is really, as you can see here, fundamentally what ensures equal pay for equal work or a hierarchy of jobs. Now, the exception to Siegel Evaluator is your sworn police and fire positions, okay? When you think about the hierarchy created by a process like this, that already exists in police and fire, right? So this is a step that we really don't have to do for police and fire, because the reality is that hierarchy already exists, but, you know, they certainly were included in each other step of the process. The total compensation, benchmarking, recommendations, development, their process is a little different, which we'll talk about later on. But this really is most appropriate for your civilian roles. Okay. The total compensation study, here's the process. Obviously, you identify the benchmark jobs. You know, the reality is it's just not realistic. The city has about 400 job titles. It's not realistic to get market data on 400 positions, right? One, you're not going to get sufficient data from any of the respondents because it's going to be too time-consuming for them to fill out. But two, you're going to have some jobs here that are so unique to Columbia, bless you, so unique to Columbia that it's very difficult to get accurate comparisons elsewhere, okay? So we identified those benchmark jobs, and the goal was to look at jobs across the agency in different existing pay grades, in different departments, in different work groups, supervisory, non-supervisory, represented by different unions, so that we had a really good cross-section of data that we could then extrapolate across the workforce as a whole. Okay, you know, distribute the market survey to the peer agencies, verify and validate that information, reconcile internal and external placement. So what we just talked about for civilian roles, putting a job in grade 102, putting a job in grade 104, does the market agree, you know, or do we have to reassess? And finally, designing those market competitive salary structures, again, that have been reviewed, but the critical caveat is all of that is ultimately subject to your compensation philosophy, okay? So the peer agencies, the way that process worked, we started this process with stakeholder interviews. So we sat down and we met individually with department directors. We sat down and we met with unions. And we collected from those folks, who do you believe represents your competition in the market? Okay, who have you lost people to? Who have you recruited people from? You know, in real life, where have you seen job postings that people are interested in? Or maybe anecdotally, where have you heard that people are interested in going to? So we got this big, massive list of potential peer agencies. Siegel then did a lot of demographic research to provide information to aid in your decision making. So things like, what's the median income? What's the median home value? What's the population? What's the population change, right? Are they gaining people or are they losing people? So we did a lot of demographic research. We provided that information to the city, who then went out and did their own research to look at these peer agencies and find out, you know, who has similar structures, who has similar services, you know, who may be organized the same way. And so that was kind of how the peer agencies were selected. You can see here similarity in services, size and proximity, organizational structure, the cost of labor, which we'll talk about in just a moment, all really identified to cast the widest net possible to gather the most representative market data possible that could be used across the city. Okay. So those agencies, and these were shared with individuals a second time. You know, Dick DeCarlin, one of the things he was really committed to was, you know, making sure there was input into that process. So these agencies were then shared a second time. And as you can see here, a really good mix of cities in Missouri, a really good mix of agencies throughout the region, and some other, you know, direct competitors in the market, you know, U of M, another very large complex utility, things like that. Okay, so These were the peer agencies that were selected. Now, we did distribute, as you'll see on the next slide, a market survey to these agencies that had 100 job titles. And that's part of the reason DeCarlin said we've been working with you with about a year now. This is really where the process slowed down a bit. We reached out to the peer agencies, didn't get a great response. Your HR department then reached out, as did your city manager's office, and they still just weren't really agreeable to providing the data. So open records requests were submitted of all, open records requests were submitted of the agencies who didn't respond so that we could get data necessary to perform those comparisons. So that's part of kind of the slowdown here is we didn't get the data back in a timely manner from peers, and so we had to go through a several other step process to get that information, okay? So you can see 100 jobs were included in the survey. We then matched the data based on the content of a position, and that's really important. Matches aren't based on job title. They're based on what are the functions of the job and what are the qualifications of a job so that you can do a really meaningful apples-to-apples comparison. Okay, we matched the custom data, and then we used reputable published data to represent both the private sector, which obviously is a really relevant competitor here in Columbia, and a utility survey. So a utility survey that that industry knows and realizes just because of the size and complexity, and frankly the diversity of the utility services Columbia offers. So those published sources, Economic Research Institute, or ERI, a lot of you are familiar. I see several people's heads around the room nodding. ERI is who we pulled the private sector data from, and the utility survey was the American Water Works Association, or AWWA. And ERI also is where we got cost of labor differentials. So I want to go back a couple slides. When you look at the peer agencies, the reality is the cost to recruit and retain people is very different in Columbia than it is in a lot of these other locations. And so ERI actually publishes a cost of labor differential that enables us to adjust salaries up and down based on the cost of labor in an area so that we can do meaningful comparisons. And so ERI, again, very reputable agency. What we do is we pull the geographic differential at your average salary across the city so that it covers all of the employees throughout the workforce. Okay, so we did the geographic differentials using data for ERI. So of those 100 jobs, you can see here 93% had sufficient market data for comparison. So, across that 100 jobs, we only had 7 that didn't provide statistically valid information for our comparisons. 67% of those benchmark jobs had at least one published survey source. Okay, so across all of those jobs, either a private sector comparison, an AWWA comparison, or in many cases, both. So we had a really, really good representation of both custom data that we collected and published data through those other two sources. And across all jobs, the average number of matches actually was in excess of 9. I think it was 9.35. But across all the jobs, we had an average of 9 matches, which really provides a lot of good data to aid and inform in our decision-making processes. Okay. So the results, and this is aggregate level. Okay. So across all jobs, your pay ranges were, and I want to take a moment here, the corridor of competitiveness, or, we're in March Madness, so let's talk the over-under. The corridor of competitiveness or over-under is 95 to 105% of market, okay? So it's a plus or minus of 5. So across all jobs at your minimum, you were well below market. So you can see there it's indicated in red. Your midpoint maximum were market competitive, okay? It's across all of your positions. However, and this is more informative, when you look at it by job, you had 46 that were below market. So 46 of those 100 jobs that we surveyed were actually below market in that data that we just collected. 34 of the jobs were market competitive, 13 were above, and you can see here again, this is where that 7% comes from. 7 of them we just did not have sufficient, you know, statistically valid data for comparisons. And you can see here, your competitiveness really ranged considerably from 76, so about 24% below, all the way to 22% above market. Okay, so aggregate level, below at minimum, competitive at midpoint and maximum. However, you know, quite a bit of jobs were below market, you know, given that data that we collected. Okay, one of the reasons, I want to go back to this slide because it's going to be important in a moment when we talk about how we develop pay structures. One of the reasons your minimum was so much lower than market at an aggregate level is the range spread. Okay, and I hate to geek out here for a moment, but when you build a pay structure outside of public safety, you build that pay structure at midpoint, and your minimum and maximum is then determined by the average distance in the market between minimum and maximum. Does that make sense? And so the cities, and I wrote this down because I didn't want to get it wrong, your existing range spreads range from 45 to 76%. And on average in the market, it was 45 to 55. So when you think about the fact you're building from midpoint and the minimums and maximums that are influenced by that number, that's why your minimum was so much lower, is in the market if the structure looks like this, but yours looks like this, that's why your minimum would be low. And part of the reason that it may have contributed to some of the recruitment problems that we heard about during that stakeholder interview process. Okay. So total compensation. So I want to look here. Remember these numbers, 89, 95, 98, competitiveness from a base salary standpoint. The other element of this scope was a total compensation analysis. When we do total comp calculations, we really look at the three big ticket out-of-pocket items, if you will, from a calculation standpoint, and that's the salary, the retirement contribution, and the healthcare contribution, okay? And so we looked at those. We actually have a fairly sophisticated approach to healthcare. We weight respondents' data to reflect your employee distribution, so we're doing an apples-to-apples comparison. And when you look at a total compensation number, you actually improve by basically 1%. Healthcare, you were lower than market in terms of your weighted healthcare contributions. You were below market, but on retirement, you were above. And it kind of balanced out to where your total compensation competitiveness increased by about 1%. Okay. So the next step in this process was, again, to gain leadership and union feedback. So back in January, we came on site. We had 24 individual meetings with department heads and unions. And those meetings were structured to where we showed them, we're an open book, right? That's how studies like this have credibility. We showed them, here are the groupings of jobs, and here are what the ranges would be, pending the important caveat that you can see here. That's all ultimately subject to what you as the governing body decide on your compensation philosophy, okay? That influences a lot, we'll talk about in just a second. But so, you know, we showed them the market-based structures. Unions, directors saw what our proposed ranges would be if we were moving forward with a market-based structure. They were then invited to provide feedback. I'll tell you some of the feedback we accommodated, some of the feedback we didn't, right? Because the data and our analysis just didn't support the desired outcome. So a very important step, you know, influenced certainly the results, but it was reserved only to that individual department or that individual union's positions, okay? So we weren't allowing utilities, as an example, to evaluate public works positions, or we weren't allowing finance to evaluate HR. We showed them only their jobs, okay? We made those changes. We were then back on site a couple weeks ago. Actually, I was back on site March 7th where we met with all of your directors, city manager, you know, is there a more appropriate term, your leadership team, DeCarlin? Is that the...
That works.
So met with those individuals and gave them an opportunity to see citywide recommendations. So, you know, one further step to add credibility and lock arms and say, you know what, I as a director may have hoped my people ended up a little higher, right? Again, I was a department head of the city, as I mentioned. I would have loved to have advocated strongly for my folks, but the goal of that is to establish credibility across the city. Can I justify to the leadership team why these jobs ended up where they ended up at? And so those meetings really afforded directors an opportunity to see the whole structure, to see, you know, this is where jobs end up, you know, if we were to move forward, to provide feedback again, which, you know, it was a good second pass. We incorporated some of that feedback as well. So all of that's been established, but it's work in progress because the next step is for you, the policymakers, to establish that policy and say, okay, you know, this is where we want to be, right? So we've created those salary structures. As I mentioned, we use the midpoint to align jobs, the market range spreads to create the minimum and maximum. Those structures, however, the arguably most critical component of establishing this is where do you want to be in relation to market? Okay. The assignment then is based on the proprietary Siegel Evaluator process and or market data. Okay. So our next steps from there, we've actually got a live file, for lack of a better term, that will enable the city to calculate in real time what is it going to cost based on the assumptions we've entered. Okay, and so we built that model. The city still has to review and approve the final allocation of employees. You know, we may have put an administrative support person in a level one that the city believes belongs in a level two, right? I mean, those kinds of things you take care of prior to implementation, but the city needs to review and approve that. And ultimately, negotiate recommendations with unions. Okay, for civilian positions, we went through the process that we just discussed, right? We did job evaluation, we got market data, we blended it to create those proposed pay ranges. For sworn police and fire, and this will not be a surprise to anyone in attendance, when we sat down with them, we explained our structure development methodology for police and fire. Very, very simple. We look at the average market minimum and the average market maximum by rank, okay? So what's the average minimum? What's the average maximum by rank? If the market is higher, that's what we go with. If the existing minimum or maximum for a rank is higher, we don't recommend that you change that, okay? Police and fire positions are difficult enough to recruit and retain right now, and so that's our methodology for them. So literally we sat down and we said, okay, here's what the minimum, here's what the maximum is by rank. Your existing is either lower or higher, so this is what our recommendations are going to look like. Okay. So obviously implementation for union positions, both civilian and sworn, would be subject to that existing collective bargaining process. Now that is obviously informed by how competitive you want to be relative to market. So that compensation philosophy inevitably impacts the structures that we create. Those structures then would serve as the starting point in your negotiations with your represented groups. Okay. So the next steps, the executive session is really designed for us as your service provider to get your feedback as the governing body, as the decision makers, and ultimately as the folks who have to fund this, right, to get your feedback on the compensation philosophy, specifically your desired competitive position relative to market that will then influence our structures. City staff will then get the final written report from us, the final file that they can use for costing purposes, and they can use that model, if you will, to estimate based on assumptions and criteria that are established by council what the cost to implement is going to be. Okay. So I want to provide a lot of time. It was about 30 minutes, so I want to provide a lot of time for questions. Anything I can speak to in more detail so far?
Questions for TL?
Yes, sir.
So looking at your slide, I think 16, just trying to...
This one?
No, the next one.
Okay.
There you go. So did you notice or identify any trends in the types of positions that were either below market, competitive, or above market?
Not really. I mean, you know, certainly you can use it to establish some decisions. I mean, you know, we noticed some groups were well below private sector, but well above public sector, right? I mean, so there were some trends like that. But the reality is, and we'll write this up in our written final report, we'll actually show by benchmark job how competitive you were. And in looking at that, what you'll see, it was really kind of all over the board. So a benchmark job in one department may have been high. Another benchmark job within that department may have been low.
And same thing with like seniority and those types of things.
So that's a really good question. I want to make sure that I clarify this. When we do market comparisons, we look at the job and not the individuals within the job. So seniority, time and position, none of that would have been analyzed, because what we want to compare is what is your range to what is the range in the market. The actual employee pay is then determined by how do you move employees throughout that range. Okay.
A couple other things I wrote down. Did you... solicit or get any feedback from any non-represented employees?
Yes, absolutely. So the first thing is, remember, they filled out the questionnaire. Again, we had a great response, about 650, a little more.
Well, you came back and you met with the directors and the unions.
So there was another step before that.
Okay.
So we actually sat down with groups of employees that we identified for interviews and focus groups. And so, you know, we may have, in reviewing the questionnaires, identified that we need more information, or what is the difference between a level one and a level two in this type of job, that kind of thing. I don't remember when those were conducted, but we were on site about a week meeting individually with those job titles for whom we needed additional information. And yes, absolutely, that would have included both represented and non-represented staff.
And then you mentioned that there was feedback, I think you specified, from the union representatives, and that you were able to accommodate some of their feedback and you didn't accommodate. Could you give us some examples in both those categories?
I'd really prefer not to talk about individual positions, because I don't want to create expectations for staff before the compensation philosophy itself is solidified. But what I can say, just as an example, there were some jobs that required a CDL that maybe we had in a grade lower than where we had some of your other CDL positions. And so part of the feedback was, hey, you know, this job requires a CDL as well. It should be in that pay grade. Or, you know, let me think through some of the others. In the utilities department, we had created three levels within a career family, and operationally, that particular group really didn't have a level that they hired, for example, without a wastewater license. So that was the type of feedback that we were given throughout those sessions.
Okay. All right.
Other questions for TL? Yeah, Nick.
On, I think it's slide 8 for you.
Okay.
Number 5 there, reconcile external market value with perceived internal equity placement.
Oh, right here. Sorry, yes.
Yeah. Number 5. I'm not sure that I get that. Can you talk about that again?
I can. Great question. So let's say we put a job through our proprietary Siegel Evaluator system in grade 5. And we go out and we get market data, and we look at all of the other jobs in grade 5, and they've got market data that's fairly consistent, but that one job has market data that's closer to jobs that are grouped in grade 109, right? So what we're doing is we're comparing, did we group similar positions internally that have similar market values externally as well? And so, yeah, so we're saying, you know, through our internal analysis, did we in reality group jobs And again, to geek out a little bit, I said that earlier and I saw you laugh. We do that through statistics, so we do regression analysis, put all this stuff together.
Oh, regression analysis.
Yeah. I didn't want to put y'all to sleep yet, so I didn't talk through
that. No, that's exciting. You mentioned,
keep going.
Yeah. You mentioned our having unique positions at the city. Can you say more about describing those and how those come to be in our structure and so forth?
So a lot of it has to do with operationally how you're structured and, you know, some of the decisions you made to get people in the door. But, you know, I'll talk through one in particular. You know, in the, you've got a health department that oftentimes is part of the county government, not part of the city government, right? So a lot of your peers may not have had some of those same jobs. I would argue this council, and I applaud you for this, has really continued to invest in arts and culture and sustainability. And so those are programs that a lot of other cities that they may not have yet. And so it's really things like that, you know, that if you've got unique operations or programs that may make it difficult to benchmark other jobs.
Okay. And then on 22, a couple of questions there. On the second bullet point, it says the city must review and approve final allocation of employees into new job titles. I assume that's the work of the city manager's office and departments.
So I want to let DeCarlin or Kathy field that, but let me specify. We first made that allocation, right? Part of our analysis is certainly to say, okay, based on the questionnaire submitted for this job, we believe it belongs in this new proposed classification. Generally speaking, it would be a combination of HR, the city manager's office, with input from other senior staff at the city. But I'll let them speak to how they may want to go about doing that.
So a big part of that is that we, at the time we gave the census file, that was a picture of time where all our employees are. Up until we adopt this, our employees are going to be constantly moving. And so we're going to say, okay, this person might have been a firefighter too. Now they're a fire engineer, so we have to make sure they're allocated correctly. And so we'll be putting together spreadsheets and having departments look over that because they know better than anybody, right, where all their people are. And so it'll be a double check process to make sure we have employees allocated to the correct classification.
That'll have a fiscal impact.
It does, yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's why we put this caveat here. Yes, absolutely, because when you use our model to estimate cost, it's really an order of magnitude thing, right? Because you're going to have employees that are turning over. There's going to be attrition. There's going to be reassignments. There's going to be reclassifications. And so, you know, it really is kind of a snapshot.
Okay, I think that's all.
Other questions for TL? I guess I have a question that's probably more for DeCarlin or Kathy. What's our current philosophy in relation to market?
I can respond to that.
Oh, get it, TL.
Right now, and I believe Kathy has a slide that talks about that, right now you're set at the median of all of your peer agencies. So that's your current compensation philosophy.
Okay.
That same group of peers? Or do we have a different?
I assume they were redetermined this time around.
They were.
Yeah.
But some were the same. I recognize some of those cities, right? Yeah. Any other questions for TL? So, and let me just clarify, the request to go into closed session is because we're going to get into detailed examples and numbers, and you have not finalized salary negotiations with our labor groups. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other part of this part of the session? Nope. Okay. I move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri, to immediately go into a closed meeting here in Conference Room 1A, 1B of City Hall to discuss the preparation, including any discussions or work product, on behalf of a public governmental body or its representatives for negotiations with employee groups pursuant to Section 610.0219 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, and individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees or applicants for employment pursuant to Section 610.0213 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri, and then ask for a second prior to roll. Second. Seconded by Andrea. Ms. Buffalo, yes. Ms. Fowler?
Yes.
Ms. Wehner?
Yes.
Mr. Lovelady?
Yes.
Mr. Foster?
Yes.
Mr. Pitzer?
Maybe you're allergic to me.
Ms. Peters?
Yes.
All right. 5:39.